462. I heard 462. "'462, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.'" Can we sing verses 1 and 4? 1 and 4 of 462. Okay, 504, the old rugged cross, verses 1 and 3. Thank you. Yes, Alita. 701. Did I hear 1 and 3, Alita? Yes, it's number 701, 701, when we all get to heaven, and we'll sing verses 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think we have time for one more if someone has another selection. How about 139? 139, praise to the Lord the Almighty, and verses 1 and 5, the first and last verses of 139. Thank you, everyone. We will now continue with our worship service.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Good morning and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the House of Faith, the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. Especially want to welcome our visitors and guests, but of course also our longtime members. It's great to see everyone here. And thank you, those of you that are joining us on Zoom. It's a wonderful, wonderful technology. Those of you that are here, please remember to sign in the red pew pads. If you are a visitor, include your some information so that we can contact you. There's also blue cards in the pews there if you would like to write your prayer requests, and then you can drop them in the offering plate on your way out. And of course, everyone's invited across the hall after the service for coffee fellowship in the fellowship hall. And I think it's time for some announcements, and Susan has some slides already up. So I guess I'm going to start with the September newsletter being available, although we do have some September birthdays up here now. Thank you, Susan. She found the September birthday slide we were looking for earlier, so please wish those folks a happy birthday. And I'll just follow along with what she's got there so I don't confuse you. Please sign up for the Pastor's Fellowship lunch on Wednesday, September 20th, if you can make it, at 12 noon at the Legend 8 restaurant in Kalamasa. If you need transportation, be sure to contact Pastor Phillips or the church office. And there is a Samaritan's Purse Christmas shoebox for children in the fellowship hall. I think last Sunday there weren't all that many left, so if you'd like to get one, I think you still have a chance. There's gifts for young children, and there's a suggestion list included if you're interested in that. And the Hearts Grow, second and fourth Sundays, you can see that's held in the children's church room. So if you're interested, please participate in that. And today at 11, we're watch and discuss the Chosen series. And you can, if you've been here, you've heard us talk about that. It's a wonderful series. And there's a food sign up needed for the Chosen series on Sundays. And the last season 3 episode is in October 1st. So you have until then to sign up for food. And there's a parents' night out Friday, September 22nd from 6 to 8:30. And you can see there the movie that they're going to show, and it looks like a great discussion about what makes a hero. And then the October 7th film on, those are our Saturday movies. I Can Only Imagine. I did see this movie a while back. It's a wonderful, wonderful movie. I can recommend it. It's shown in Faith Theater 2 at 11 a.m. And on November 4th, the 11 a.m. movie will be the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. That one I haven't seen, but it sure sounds fun. And that's November 4th, all shown in Faith Theater 2. And if there's no other announcements, then we will begin with our call to worship. Please stand as you are able. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And please join in our first hymn, number 89, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
God of love, God's unfold light flows before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill the reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around me,
center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, hill and mountain, glory red of flashing sea, chanting bell and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art
Before you are seated again, please pass the peace with the folks here with you or the folks in your house next to you. Peace be with you.
We have Helen. As always, so glad to see you, Helen, and Mary, and I'm sure Dan, they are watching from home. June and Joyce have joined us as usual, and Rachel, so good to see you. Hanging in there, Rachel. All right. Yes. And good to have Alicia and David. And let's see, who else do we have? And Mike and Carol, they have come on Zoom as well. Glad to see you all.
And thank you. It's time now for sharing of joys and concerns. And Susan has the microphone, so please raise your hand.
Good morning. You're not sitting on the other side. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Susan Walmsley, and I have a joy. My joy is reporting on Peggy Avon and her husband Jerry, and also they're doing as well as can be when you've just had hip surgery and you have no choice but to sit in a chair. But to that end, I have been rewarded by the response that I'm getting from taking meals to Peggy and Jerry on Tuesday and Thursday, but I could use more support. I have a sign-in sheet with me today, and so starting at about October 3rd, 5th, a 3rd and the 5th, that's a Tuesday and Thursday, and then the next week, a Tuesday and a Thursday, and I think the next week, a Tuesday and Thursday, I don't have anybody who has signed up to help prepare a meal for them. So it's just a meal on Tuesday and Thursday, about 3:30 in the afternoon, something that you would enjoy eating, something that Jerry doesn't have to prepare. Maybe he just puts it together. So I would appreciate anybody's help in fulfilling a commitment to a church member who is in need. Thank you. And Joyce.
Thank you for reporting on that. I have a wonderful joy. I have a granddaughter, Emily Castaneda. I've talked about her before. She was born 17 weeks early and has always struggled in school. And she has finally like hit her hurrah that her mom and dad had their meeting. She's a sophomore in high school with I think it's called the IPA, and that she is actually going to be starting college at Valley College in their pharmacy program.
Oh, wow.
And we are just like, grandma is like, overwhelmed. Only a few students get to do this.
That's great.
And it's all paid through the school, and she's looking forward to it. And I kind of teased her. Her father is the head psych tech at Patton State Mental Hospital, and I said, "Well, your daddy can analyze this and you can give me the drugs to fix me."
That's great.
Other joys or concerns?
Thank you. As you know, as you've probably seen, Judy, my sister, hasn't been here for a couple of weeks. They tell her she has COVID. She just has a headache and vertigo, no fever, and all her tests are negative, but the Zoom appointment with her doctor, they're going on the premise she has COVID.
Oh, wow.
So she is choosing to protect everyone and not show up. So just prayers for her. And also, Trudy and I have a mutual friend, Roseanne. You may have met her, as she's watched The Chosen a few times with us. Her son-in-law is in the hospital and has been for a while with a very bad staph infection. And she's kind of asking for prayers for him. He also has a problem with the rhythm of his heart that they can't get into rhythm for some reason. So he's not doing well. So if you'll pray for Matt. I know his name is Matt. I don't know the last name.
Is her
son-in-law
my brother?
I don't know.
Well, I have some sad news. My brother in Florida, Randy, that we've been praying for, has passed away. He went on Tuesday. And family will be gathering in three different places, I guess, for three different funerals. Mine is going to be in Maine, October the 7th. And he had quite a following of his church people and his career followers. And he had five children, and they were all engineers too. So it's quite a big thing for him to be gone so early in life. And he's just a year and a half older than I am, which makes it even harder for me to phantom. And we've been so close our whole lives. So anyway, pray for his family to get through all this and send him off the right way. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Judy, and I'd like continued prayers for my brother, Matthew. and he's still in the hospital. He's kind of getting close, I guess, to being moved on. They want to send him to a care facility. Well, the last time they did that, he got so much worse. And he has heart problems, heart failure, and it all started with his knee with a septic infection, with a really bad bacterial infection. And he is so anemic, and they don't know why, but they have ruled out cancer. And but he's coming along. It's slow, but pray for him. And then also, when he comes home, we're not going to allow him to go to a care facility because of the care that he had. I think I can do it. They're going to teach me how to do the intravenous antibiotics, and I will be caring for him, so pray for me. Thank you.
That's an undertaking.
Hi, my name, I'm sorry. My name is Pat Shores. I have a joy. Yesterday, I got to go down with my sister Allison to see her daughter Emily with the babies. Emily's father, Gerald, who lives up in Northern California, was down also, and his brother with his wife were out from Tennessee, so we were all there to see the babies, and it was a wonderful day.
Very nice, very nice. And of course, we want to continue our prayers for Rachel. She is still battling, and would you like to say a few words, Rachel?
Well, let me in there.
So my scan came back pretty good. The cancer is going down, so that's good.
Praise the Lord.
The chemo is making me have really high fevers, and it's also sending me into seizures. So I had a pretty bad seizure yesterday. I had to go into the ER, but they got my fever down and everything, so I came back home. So, but just prayers for me, because I keep having them, and it's kind of scary, so.
Of course, yes. Yeah, we are all praying for you, Rachel. Always be mindful of that, and God loves you.
Yes, he does.
Yes, absolutely.
He loves everybody.
Any others?
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Susan. And now, please join in our unison prayer as printed in your bulletin or as seen on the screen here in just a moment. Thank you. Let's be in an attitude of prayer, please. Dear Lord Jesus,
we wish to sail on a peaceful sea, but with unfavorable winds and waves, life is restless. We tend to give in to doubts and fears and run from reality. Help us walk on faith, even when storms would come to our path. May we yield to your control, face the gale, and ride on the wave. For you will take us to a safe haven, even through the tempest. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. Let us remember all those, the flood victims, earthquake victims in those countries in Mediterranean area. In all the chaos, in all the busyness of this world, we sometimes have a hard time to listen to you, to find your presence in our lives. We are often confused as we deal with sudden changes, harsh realities in life. But, O Lord, as we come to the place of quietness, when we leave everything behind and come to the place of worship like this, we are reminded of your ever-present grace, your power that works in our lives, that gives us strength and courage, that we may not give up on the way, but always restored and receive strength and power to continue on. We need you, O Lord. We need you every moment of our lives. We need you in joy. We need you in trouble. We acknowledge our personal need in various places. Many of us are battling with this physical weakness. Many of us are battling with the troubles found in the life of our loved ones. You know where we are exactly. You know what we are dealing with. So, Lord, this morning we just come. We just come to you with the open heart. that you may touch us once more, that you may empower us once more, that you may come into our hearts and lives with your Holy Spirit. A lot of times, oh Lord, because of the confusion we have, we just do not know what to pray for. But we just come and offer ourselves as we are and ask you to come in and touch us, heal us, mend our brokenness. Blow your Holy Spirit unto us once more, that we may be made whole. And we know, O Lord, in spite of all our weaknesses, we can continue on with your help and with your strengthening presence in our lives. So, Lord, we offer our hearts, our prayers, our cares and concerns for our loved ones, and ask you to reveal yourself that we may see you, that we may feel you, that we may sing praises unto you as we see what you do on our behalf. So thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. And as you are the sovereign God, we yield to you, give our will, our plan to you, and to your control. So, Lord, fulfill your good and perfect will in our lives. Whatever your will is, we know that you have the most perfect and wonderful will and plan for us. So here we are, offering our prayers unto you and praying that you fulfill your will upon our lives, upon the life of our loved ones, upon this church, upon this community, and upon this world today. So we now join our hearts in prayer, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is The Three Billy Goats Gruff. Once upon a time, there was a bridge, and beneath that bridge there lived a troll. The troll would sit in the mud and the rubble and the trash, listening, waiting, hoping for someone to cross the bridge above his head. I am a troll. I live to eat. I love the sound of hooves and feet, and paws and claws on cobblestones, for that's the sound of meat and bones. The troll used a filthy fingernail to scrape the wax out of his ears. All he'd eaten lately was a leather boot and some goop he'd found in his belly button. He was practically starving. Clip-clop, clip-clop went the bridge above his head. The troll scrambled to his feet and climbed into the light, crying, "Who seeks to reach the grassy ridge? Who dares to walk across my bridge?" A little goat stood there quivering. "It's only me," said the goat, "a billy goat. My last name's Gruff." The troll began to dance and stomp. I love goat. Let me count the ways. A rump of goat in honey glaze, goat smoked, goat poached, a goat pot roast, goat smorgasbord, goat smeared on toast, a goat kale salad, hold the kale, goat escargot, that's goat plus snails. On goat I'll dine, on goat I'll sup. You, little goat, I'll eat you up. Please, said the little goat, no, you don't want to eat me. There's hardly any meat on my bones. The troll squinted. Now that he mentioned it, this goat did look kind of stringy. The little goat smiled. If you let me cross, I'll tell you a secret. Soon my big brother will come this way, and he is much fatter and tastier than I am. Your big brother, huh? Said the troll. He tugged the long hair that grew from his chin. Okay, you may pass. And the first billy goat Gruff trotted clip-clop, clip-clop across the bridge. Down below, the troll chuckled to himself. I can't believe I tricked that goat into telling me about his big brother. I'm so smart and fun and handsome. Clip-clop, clip-clop went the bridge above his head. The troll scrambled to his feet and climbed into the light, crying, Who seeks to reach the grassy ridge? Who dares to walk across my bridge? It was another goat. It's only me, said the goat. The second of the billy goats Gruff. The troll was glad to see this goat was not so small. He clapped his hands together and squealed, I love goat. Let me count the ways. Goat benedict with hollandaise, goat jerky, jerk goat, curried goat, goat gravy in a silver boat, a goat flambé with candied yams, a goat clam bake with goat, not clams. On goat I'll dine, on goat I'll sup. You, little goat, I'll eat you up. Please, said the goat. No, you don't want to eat me. The troll frowned. Why not? You look delicious. The second goat smiled. I would only spoil your appetite, for if you let me cross, I'll tell you a secret. Soon my big brother will come this way, and he is much fatter and tastier than I am. Your big brother, huh? The troll whistled. I'd sure like to see that. He twirled his chin hair around his finger. Okay, you may pass. And the second billy goat Gruff trotted clip-clop, clip-clop across the bridge. Crouching down there in the dark, the troll was bursting with anticipation. This third brother sounds positively mouth-watering. I can't wait to eat him. The troll picked at a scab. What rhymes with strudel? Clip-clop, clip-clop went the bridge. The troll began drooling. Oh my, here we go. He scrambled to his feet and flung himself into the light, crying, Who seeks to reach the grassy ridge? Who dares to walk across my bridge? Oh, said the troll. Wow, you're really big. The troll straightened himself up as tall as he could, coughed, and said in a voice that sounded quite small, I'll eat you up, you little goat. The big goat laughed. He lowered his horns and stamped his hoof. No, said the goat, you will not. And the third billy goat Gruff rammed into the troll, who flew off the bridge, into the rapids, and over a waterfall, which was known as the Big Waterfall. Then he went over the huge waterfall. And then came the waterfall we call the really enormous waterfall. The troll floated down the river around the bend, and where he ended up I really can't say. I've never gone that far. There are too many mosquitoes. As for the third goat, he trotted clip-clop, clip-clop and joined his brothers on the grassy ridge. And the three billy goats Gruff are still there today, eating all they want, getting nice and fat. You can go visit them and say hello. All you have to do is cross the bridge. The end. We all know the prayer that starts with, God is great, God is good. Jesus said, only God is good, and all of the goodness inside us comes from God. We can't give it any other source. Isn't it good to know that the greatest God the most wonderful good God, is on our side, giving us our provision and protection. Thank God for that, because how great is our God. Amen.
And now please join in our hymn, number 474.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn.
Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost
Now it's time for our scripture reading, and today's reading comes from Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And this is about Jonah's anger. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from punishment. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left hand, and also many animals? The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lori. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all on this very cool Sunday morning. And I pray that each of us will have the personal visit from the Holy Spirit and from our Lord through our worshiping Him this morning. And especially we will hear the messages that we all need to hear from God. A well-dressed man waited in front of a Brooklyn apartment. Surrounding him were a dozen pieces of luggage. Eventually, a taxi came along. The driver placed the luggage neatly inside. He started to drive to the docks without hitting a bump. The passenger was very impressed by the gentleness of the ride and said, "As you can see, I'm taking a cruise and we'll see every major port in the world. In each port, I'll have to hail a taxi. I was thinking, perhaps you'd like to come along. I don't care about the cost." "That could run into a fortune." "I told you, I don't care. Naturally, I'll also pay all of your expenses." The cabbie pondered the offer and decided to take it up. When they arrived at the Manhattan dock, the cab was loaded into the ocean liner. The gentleman made all the necessary arrangements. 2 hours later, they were on the way. For 6 months, they traveled the world. Dutifully, in each city, the cabbie and his cab debarked, drove the passenger around, returned, and then went aboard again. The trip ended. They arrived in Manhattan at 10 in the evening. The cabbie had left the meter running still, as was agreed upon, and it read 42,653. True to his word, the passenger wrote out a check, which included a handsome tip. Then he said, "Now take me home to Brooklyn." The cabbie said, "Brooklyn at night? Forget it. I always have to come back to Manhattan empty." The cab driver enjoyed 6 months of great time traveling worldwide and was fully compensated for the entire duration with a substantial tip. But he outrageously refused to show a little kindness to his extremely generous patron to drive a mere 10 miles. What was the driver's rationale behind it? A double standard. He welcomes the generosity given to him, but refuses to show even to the one who was so kind and gracious. And also, misapplication of fairness. It was somehow fair for the driver to enjoy the cruise and be paid at the same time, but was not fair to suffer a little loss for his exceedingly benevolent patron. Now, something similar to this joke, or even worse, happened in the Bible. Where in the Bible? In the book of Jonah. You might not have read it that way, but let's look at the story with these lenses. The book of Jonah began with God telling him to go to Nineveh and preach the imminent judgment from God because of his sinfulness. That's
Book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. And the chapter 1, verse 2nd, rapidly moves to Jonah's reaction to run from God. I mean, how rapid that is. This breakneck development reflects how much Jonah disliked God's command to him. Not everyone would obey God when they hear God's command. Some choose to take time and ask God for clarification. But only very few would adamantly oppose as Jonah did. Between the first and second verses of the first chapter, Jonah did not say yay or nay or make any excuses. The absence of these kinds of responses indicates that Jonah did not need a second thought on his next move of immediate rebellion. We can speculate several reasons why Jonah did not hesitate to disobey God's command. According to 2 Kings 14:25, Jonah was active during King Jeroboam II, who ruled the northern kingdom of Israel from 786 to 746 BC. Israel enjoyed a peaceful time under Jeroboam. The Assyria did not yet invade the northern kingdom, but Jeroboam was trying to expand Israel's territory. So a giant neighboring country of Assyria would not have been viewed as a friend. The spiritual well-being of the heathen in Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, might not have been concerned for Jonah. Now, how much Jonah hated God's call to go to Nineveh? If Jonah disliked going to Nineveh, simply say no and don't go there. That's all he had to do. But he wanted to be more proactive to disobey and decided to run from God, not just a few dozen miles, but 2,500 miles in the Mediterranean. Now, why is it 2,500 miles? He went down to Joppa after God told him to go to Nineveh, right? Joppa was at the eastern tip of the Mediterranean Sea, and Tarshish, is at the western tip of the Mediterranean, right at the Strait of Gibraltar, right? That's 2,500 miles. Nine kinds of wind blow over the Mediterranean Sea. Sailors take advantage of each wind to travel in different directions during the year. Levante is an easterly wind that blows from the eastern corner to the far west of the sea. It reaches gale force in spring and autumn, but usually gives a moderate and steady breeze during the summer. Book of Jonah provides clues about Jonah's season of travel, like the sailor's surprise at the storm, because it didn't usually, you know, during the summer, they didn't usually see the storm. Plants' quick growth, Jonah's shade enjoyment, the rapid plant dying under the scorching east wind and blazing sun. All those hints point to the summer. Presumably, many ships traveled westward from Joppa, the eastern tip of the Mediterranean, to Tarshish, the western tip of the Mediterranean, during the summer. And Jonah was an intelligent individual. He figured it out in advance that it would be a peaceful escape. The wind blew perfectly to take him to the farthest western corner of the Mediterranean.
So considering all those, even though Book of Jonah doesn't say it, considering all those, what does it say to us? Jonah's going aboard the ship, headed to Tarshish, reveals Jonah's calculated and determined disobedience against God's call. It wasn't like, you know, casual, oh no, I don't want to do that, or I might do it later on. He calculated how to disobey God. It was a very serious offense. So, what did God do? God responded with a violent storm, which was completely unexpected during the time of the year. Jonah tried to ignore it at first, but faced inescapable God's wrath. So he confesses sin and volunteers to be thrown into the raging sea. But God was merciful and gave Jonah a second chance after a serious offense against God. Hearing the message of God's judgment from Jonah, the Ninevites repented, and God changed his plan to punish them. Yet to Jonah, what God did was very wrong, and he became angry. It was not fair for Jonah to have gone through the raging sea, the pitch black of the and terrifying fish, and much discomfort of traveling just for the salvation of Gentiles. Jonah had hopes and dreams, but his life did not run the way he planned. He somehow thought that the Ninevites would not be saved. It wasn't fair that they were saved. It wasn't fair that Jonah went through so much pain for the undeserving Gentiles. I mean, think about us. Was there any moment that we felt like life isn't fair? And there are many out there who says that life isn't fair. Someone said this: life is not always fair. Some people are born into a better environment. Some people have better genetics. Some are in the right place at the right time. Bill Gates once said this: life isn't fair, get used to it. I mean, Bill Gates. What does that mean, Bill? Did you mean that people should not expect to be rich like you? Of course, not everyone would become like he is, but it's not fair for him to say that. How do we define our life? Is our life fair or unfair? For an answer, let's look at Jonah's life with the objectivity, right? Jonah committed a crime of disobedience, not just a casual one, but a very, very serious one, which imperiled many innocent lives. Considering fairness, Jonah deserved severe punishment or even death, but God was so gracious as he repented his sins. Now, did Jonah not know God's grace? Of course he did. But the problem was, it was perfectly okay for God to be generous to Jonah, but not to the Gentiles. In other words, Jonah had a double standard. Jonah did not labor to grow the plant that provided shade for him. The plant was a perfect example of God's free gifts of grace for everyone. God treated Jonah and the Ninevites equally and with grace. But Jonah didn't appreciate God's grace and became mad when Ninevites received it. If God had dealt with fairness, John Newton, who wrote The Amazing Grace, could never have experienced God's amazing grace. As he wrote in the hymn, he was a wretched sinner. At the age of 18, he served the Royal Navy. He tried to desert it and was captured and punished. After being humiliated, he contemplated murdering the captain and committing suicide. He once worked for a slave trader whose black wife treated him like an enslaved black person. He was rescued by another white slave trader. On the voyage back to England, he had a conversion experience, but continued to make a living by slave trading for about 6 years. He even wrote in his journal that he was thankful for being led into an easy, credible way of life as a slave trader. And many during the time understood the slave trading the way that John Newton did. Even though he had good intentions and showed kindness to the slaves, what would have happened to all the slaves he transported and invested for profit? Serving God as a minister later and as an abolitionist later would not have been enough recompense for the pain he caused for so many slaves. Newton had been through many dangers and should not have been saved because of his past sin. But God's amazing grace appeared to him. To answer the question, is our life fair? We should not use our own criteria or a double standard, but God's grace. We have made many mistakes and blunders along the way, as Jonah did, and should have had to suffer damaging consequences. But amazing grace has brought us this far, and the same grace will lead us on. So let's look at our life without any bias whatsoever. We can all say that our life has been more than fair. For God has been so gracious to each and every one of us worshiping this morning. No matter what we think, you know, you may have had all the right reasons to say, "Oh, God, you have not been fair to me." No matter what we think, our life couldn't be better. In all fairness, we have lived a blessed life, all because of God's amazing grace. Amen.
And it's a reminder and a thank you for people that are continuing to bring their gifts and tithes to the church office or bringing them here on Sunday morning. If you are not able to do that, you can also mail them into the church office. And thank you for offering us special music today, Young. Yeah?
he thinks of his own.
Jesus Christ, with this offering, we are so grateful for your cross. We are so grateful for the blessings you have bestowed upon us. We are grateful for your sustaining grace and your presence. We give you this offering as we acknowledge that you are the source of all the blessings. Receive this offering, O Lord. Bless it. Use it to build your kingdom in this world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join in our final hymn, number 525.
Stand it. us pray. Lord, we sometimes question about what is going on in our life. We sometimes complain, saying that our life has not been fair. But, oh Lord, it's all because of our lack of understanding of your grace. As we look at our life under the lens of your grace, we know our life has been wonderful. We've been blessed by your presence, and you have made our life so happy and so perfect. So, Lord, we are grateful as we remember what you have done for us. And may we continue on with this gratitude to your presence and to your power, that we may continue our lifelong journey appreciating what you do in our life. So thank you, Lord, and we bless you for all the blessing that you have bestowed upon us. And send us forth with this gratitude in our hearts and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.